Before we get started on the Bengals Beat podcast, I wanted to let you know that we are now brought to you by 50 West Brewery. They have award-winning beers coupled with a bike shop, canoe and kayak library, volleyball leagues, running groups, and a killer food menu. At 50 West, they pride themselves on adding value to people's lives through beer. Is there a better way to add value to people's lives than through beer? Whether you're looking to take a float down the river and end with a beer or throw back a couple and play some volleyball, 50 West is unlike any other brewery you've ever seen. Check out their website at 50westbrew.com. That's F-I-F-T-Y, westbrew.com for more information. 50 West, where every beer's a journey. Come join for the ride. Welcome into the BBP. This is the Cincinnati Inquirer's Bengals Beat podcast presented by 50 West Brewery. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals Beat writers, Jim Osarski and Paul Weiner Jr., invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out insider news, listen in on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. You can subscribe in iTunes, Google Play, or your preferred podcast platform. Of course, you can always listen in the podcast section of our Cincinnati.com Bengals app. Let's go. All right, welcome into the BBP2. This is Bengals Beat Podcast 2, The Deuce, presented by 50 West Brewery. Bengals Packers homecoming for Jim Osarski.
Yeah,
this is your game. It's the Osarski Bowl.
Yeah,
really.
I think there are going to be people who are happy to see me there.
Really?
Well, in the press box.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah. There's no players.
Yeah, no.
They won't remember. AJ Hawk was happy to see me when he came to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So I'll just hang my hat on that one.
That's what you got.
No one else will remember me 3 years later.
Does this feel like a triumphant return for you?
Yeah. Why not? Obviously, I still have a relationship with the writers there, some of the PR staff with the Packers, but, and I maintain this and I stand by it, best food in the league.
Yeah, you're saying that.
And it's a Coca-Cola facility, one of the few.
What makes it the best food in the league? Because now, behind the curtain here,
yeah,
every team has their own little spin on how they do press meals. In the press box, everywhere there's some sort of food.
Yes.
Some people like to do stuff for, you know, local things. So the Bengals, they have your standard buffet, like a breakfast brunch buffet before a 1 o'clock game. But at halftime, they, of course, wheel out the Coney's and do a whole chili thing. What do they do in Green Bay that makes it so special? Because I've not been this. I wasn't traveling yet I wasn't even covering the team in 2009. Yeah. So
they, it is the same sort of setup. Like if it was a noon game Central, it would be the same kind of deal. It'd be the breakfasty, brunchy type of thing. In our case, primetime national game. Most cases at Lambeau, they usually are the 4:30 Eastern game. It'll be lunch ish type. But they, first of all, it's really good.
Yeah,
they give you you can go pure scone, so the brat, the cheese curd, clog your artery with that kind of stuff. There's the salad bar.
Do they have a Bloody Mary with a chicken on top or anything like that?
Because that's something I can. We might have to do that in Milwaukee on Saturday, but or Sunday morning. I mean, it's a late game.
It's a late game. You'll be in the clear by then.
Carving
Some people
stations.
Think I'd write drunk all the time.
Carving stations with now that's, choice meats.
That's the sign of a high class meal is when there's a man with a knife.
Yes. And they are a club that likes to pay homage to the visiting team. So I am curious what they pick for Cincinnati, because in my opinion, and I've fought with people on this on Twitter, I don't think the Packers should mess with whatever it is that they call chili here. I don't know.
Don't be like that.
Well, I did it. I went there.
Don't be like that.
So there's Come that. So however you feel about that, so they try to pay some sort of homage to the road team.
What they should do is just have a bunch of Grater's ice cream is what they should do if they knew what they were doing.
Yeah, they don't do ice cream. However, they have assorted cakes.
Okay.
And cookies and brownies. Cheesecake.
Can I tell
cake?
How much no clowning around guy hates the first four minutes of this podcast?
Yeah, he hates it. Popcorn.
popcorn.
Available all game.
Yeah, that's
hot
good.
Hot chocolate.
That's
I good. Was a hot chocolate guy.
Yeah.
It's a cold press box. So that's, and then halftime, there's a little bit of food as well. And then post-game, Subway is brought in.
All right, let's get to football. So I might have to do some editing on that. So on Sunday, Bengals Packers, we've talked so much about the offense for the last,
yeah,
really since the start of the season. We haven't really gotten into a defense that has played well. Because every time you talk about how they've played well, they've really only let up two plays. Two right. long plays is really it. Everything else has been circumstantial.
Yeah.
A long drive. I mean, you know, the standard stuff. But for the most part, they've played well. Because it always ends with, yeah, but those might be two of the worst offenses in the league.
Right.
And you're right.
Yes.
They might be. I mean, Joe Flacco with half a back and no arm.
Yeah.
And running it a million times, and then the Texans coming out trying to run it a million times and hide a rookie quarterback in his first start.
Right.
I mean, you're going to hear from Paul Gunther in a little bit. He was pointing out, you know, we're the most run-against team in the league right now by a mile. Because
without a doubt.
Because that's all teams. They've gotten leads, and they've just tried to hold on
and
to it.
And by the way, the Bengals haven't really been able to stop that.
So we don't know. We don't know for sure. This defense has looked good, but we don't know. But we will know after Sunday.
Yeah, because here's the thing. The Packers aren't going to run it.
I mean, Ty Montgomery will get his touches, but
if there's one thing we know, it's Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy are going to air it out.
Yeah.
They may look to be, quote-unquote, committed to the run and maybe, like, stuff it in Ty Montgomery's belly, like, four times in the first 15 scripts, but no, that ball's going in the air.
It's going in the air a lot. And so you never really learn until you get out there in the heat of the battle against the best, and that's what this is going to be. Now, in fairness, Green Bay has not exactly lit it up Green Bay style the first couple of weeks.
Nope.
I mean, they had 23 last week in an L at Atlanta, and before that they only scored 17, but that was against a really good Seattle defense.
Right.
So where, you know, they're averaging 20 points a game, where will they land against the Bengals? Will they rack up a 30, like you see them often do?
Right.
Or will the Bengals be able to hold them back down closer to what they've been the last 2 weeks? I for all the talk about trying to see what this offense is going to be on Sunday, I might be more intrigued to see what this defense is going to be, because that's the only thing they can count on thus far. And if the defense comes out and gets lit up by a good offense, the season's shot.
Yeah.
Because that's the only thing they're hanging on to right now.
Right.
Like, is that they've got this defense that maybe can be something and then take another big step next week when Burfict gets back. But what do they really look like against a dynamic offense with a great quarterback? I don't know that we know that for sure, and we're about to find. We're going to learn a lot about this team as a whole on Sunday.
Yeah, and for a few reasons, I guess, Paul, defensively for me, look, and I mean, I hate to say that I'm right, but I have been right about this defense since the very beginning of we started talking about this. Yeah, only two plays. 48 yards on 3rd and 7, touchdown. 49 yards on 3rd and 15, touchdown. And 18 play, 9-minute drive against Baltimore in the third quarter when you got to get off the field. 13 play, 6.5-minute drive against Houston when you need to get off the field. Yeah, it's one play. Yeah, it's one drive. But, but you lost.
You lost.
And you couldn't do it. And this was what they did all last year. Mm-hmm. So how am I to believe that they're going to fix it against that guy in his home building?
Right.
Yes, Jordy Nelson has a quad. He practiced fully Monday at this point, or Wednesday, excuse me, at the recording of this. We assume he'll be on the field. You know, Randall Cobb dealing with a chest. We'll see. But, you know, that's one of those things where they've got other guys, and as long as 12, and if Jordy Nelson and Martellus Bennett are out there, that's a problem.
The tackles are going to be worth watching as well.
Yeah.
David Bakhtiari did not practice on Wednesday, so we'll see if he ends up out there, they might have one of two back. They might have both back.
Yeah.
Either way, there's going to be they're going to be a little banged up, and that opens things up off the edges for what you're talking about, Carl Austin or Carlos Dunlap or whoever, and then Gino to keep wrecking life because he's been unbelievable so far. But I just, you know, what do you really have? They want – there's a lot of things that this defense says they want to be and says that they are, but – Will to me, we will really learn a lot. So I sort of went around the locker room talking to defensive guys about this concept, about do they think they're dominant to this point? Do they think that this is the measuring stick game for them? Is this the point to really make the statement of what they can be? Are they curious themselves? So here's a sampling. Carlos Dunlap, Vinny Ray, and at the end with DC Paul Gunther on a take on what this Sunday really means for this defense and where they're at.
Do you feel like you guys have been a dominant defense through two games?
No, we've given up two plays that we shouldn't have. A dominant defense wouldn't have done that. But the fact that they were, you know, personal inflicted plays, then that means we can fix it. So, yeah, rather than them making a play on us, it's more so something we messed up. So you can fix that yourself.
Is going to Lambeau the best opportunity that this league pretty much presents to prove that you can be a dominant defense?
We got a great opportunity. If you go out there and against these top offenses, you know, a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's future Hall of Famer, doing the throws that he can from all different angles, rolling out different ways and scrambles, the game breakers, the game winners, all that. And you go out there and stop an offense like that, that makes a statement in itself. You don't have to say anything about it.
Is something driving you guys a little bit, time to do that?
No, more so we're worried about getting back on track and getting wins. Doesn't matter who we're playing.
Because you guys have pretty clear goals to be a dominant defense. Do you have to do it against Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay to really make that those types of claims? It doesn't hold as much weight when you do it to Baltimore and Houston as if you go to Green Bay and do it, then maybe you can kind of say, hey, look, we are for real this year.
Well, yeah, I mean, my understanding comes from our coaches, and our coaches, Coach Pauly says, every week, you know, you delete all that you did last week, and then you upload all this new information and embrace the process and the challenge. Yeah. So every week is the next game is the next challenge to stop the run and don't let them score and be great tacklers. But this week there's a little more umph because you want to, you know, you're like, yeah, we, you know, this is a great offense. So you love the challenge. You know you're going to be dog tired out there. You know it's going to be hard. But when you just as men, when you accomplish something real hard, when you come back in that locker room with that win, you know it's worth it all. So I'm still we're still hunting that.
Yeah.
But it's coming.
Yeah. Are you curious to see how your defense reacts? The first two guys have played really well, but it's not been as dynamic of offense. Are you curious?
Well, I mean, you know, it's this one best offenses in the league year in and year out. So, you know, it doesn't matter who we play the first two ball games. What matters is this week. And, you know, and I think it's going to be a good challenge, a fun day. And hopefully we can play good.
Do you hold that chip out there for your players? This is a chance to show that you can be the dominant defense that you want to be. Is that part of the drive?
I mean, we try to do that every week. Yeah. You know, obviously, you know, first two ball games we had a play here and a play there got out. Long run and a quarterback, and we got hit on the blitz. So, you know, that's, you know, right now that's where we're at as a team. So we can't let those one plays affect the whole game.
Yeah. Are there throws that your guys have to be aware of in this game that vast majority of games they don't, you know, where it's
– Either ball just gets – the ball comes out faster. It's more online. It's more on the man. So he does a good job of putting the ball where it needs to be. So we got to be good on the coverage and our leverage, and the rush has got to be good, and it's all going to tie together.
Yeah. How have you felt like your young pass rushers have done?
Good, like
two
all
weeks?
Of them. Yeah. I mean, we got a lot of young guys. I mean, if you really think about it, as far as new guys, you got Glasgow, you got Lawson, you got Jordan Willis, you got Chris Smith, you got Kevin Minner, you got Nick Vigil, who's really starting for the first time. You got, you know, Billings in there some, you know, so for the first time. Clayton Fedgeland played as a first-time starter last week. And Willie, you know, so we got a lot of new guys that are playing. So it's good to see them playing good.
I mean, you really you wanted to get more out of the pass rush. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, you've been able to sort of cycle them through. Yeah. I mean, is that – do you feel like that's trending in the direction that you wanted to see with how that works, the dynamic of all those guys?
I mean, obviously the first two ball games we weren't ahead, and the chances for a pure pass rush were a little bit limited because we've seen more runs than anybody in the league. I think we've seen 77 runs already in the first two ball games. So it's you know, hopefully when we get our chance and they open up the set and we can rush, we'll see it happen.
They haven't really seen him. Right. Those guys haven't really seen those guys. Right.
So hopefully we get a lead and we can, you know, tee off a little bit and go.
Is that what makes Geno's doing a little bit more?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, amazing.
Yes. He's playing really good right now.
Is this about as good as he's played?
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, six games in a row.
He's been unbelievable. Yeah. He's been unbelievable, and it's hard to believe that he can get any better, but he has.
Yeah. And the fact that the teams have run so much at you.
Yeah.
I can imagine if you guys had a lead. What do you
know? I know. That would be scary.
You know, you can play it down all you want to, but you can hear it when you hear it from when the players talk about it. This game, like Vinny Ray said, there's extra oomph.
Yeah.
There's extra on this. You know, Carlos saying, look, you don't need to say anything anymore about who you are and can be. Your what you do out there on Sunday can speak enough. That says it all. And it could say it all in a bad way or a good way about where they're actually at. And we'll learn a whole lot about this defense. If the defense can go out and keep – what would be a successful number in your eyes?
If they match Seattle.
17.
Because they're going to score. It doesn't matter if –
And you got to feel like the offenses could put them into short
fields.
Yeah,
if the tackles don't play, if Jari Evans, it doesn't matter. Like, you can sack Aaron Rodgers 8 times and hit him 12 times, but that dude scores points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and he rarely turns it over. Now, the Bengals have had some success. They haven't played them in a long time. It's only twice in his 13-year career. He's thrown 2 picks. Hasn't been great. But
both those teams coordinated by Mike Zimmer,
Gunther on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
But also the Packers have scored 54 points in those games, with Aaron Rodgers being quote unquote pedestrian.
Right.
So, and what does that mean? The Bengals offense scored 60 plus. I think there's some defensive scores in there as well. But
yes.
So look, this defense, Paul. I they're the closest thing to great on this team right now. They've allowed 33 points. And 10 are almost like on you. On one hand, you can't blame them. Like, there was the turnover at the two, and then there was the fumble return that they held for field goal.
Yes.
But again, this goes back to like when we talked about Jeremy Hill and stuff. Like the whole like I believe it when I see it with this group. I just like they haven't stopped them being the opponent, whoever.
And then there's been the big plays.
Yeah.
They've allowed one per game. And
this goes back to the preseason, too.
Yeah.
Travis Kelce. There's a 25-yarder against Tampa. Kirk Cousins. I think in every preseason game, other than, forget Indianapolis, this first unit's given up 20 to 30-yard chunk plays that have either resulted directly in a touchdown or led to one.
And or a long drive as well.
That.
Which that's been the ultimate problem that they've had. And then trot up, well, hey, points allowed and bow up in the red zone, and that's all fine and good. But when you're taking that kind of time of possession away, you're just, you know, it's a killer, and it could potentially be a field flip depending on what you're talking about. Anyway, I'm really curious to see how this defense looks. I think that's the most
– I mean,
it's hard to say that that's more interesting than the preview of Bill Lazor. But you know, it's going to be interesting. So let's get into it. Who you got? What do you got? And what do you think is the key? And will make the difference.
Well, if you can kind of tell through my
I know. I mean, I know who you got. I should say I know who you got.
It's 24-17 Packers. I do think they make Aaron Rodgers run around and make him uncomfortable. I do think they sack him, you know, a few times. But I just, again, I haven't seen anything to make me think they won't have those breakdowns.
Yeah.
They have against Joe Flacco and Deshaun Watson.
Right.
And with, I mean, DeAndre Hopkins was the one real receiver on these two teams. And yeah, so if Jordy Nelson's hampered or whatever, like I don't see enough. So I'd say 24-17. I think the offense looks a little better. I think it's like a close game for whatever that's worth. You know, I don't think you're going to get the we're going to – we don't go from scoring no touchdowns and 9 points in 2 weeks to being able to outgun Aaron Rodgers on the road.
Right.
That would be really surprising to me. I would be less surprised if the defense – does what you think it maybe it could do, or maybe what people think they can do, and maybe hold Aaron Rodgers to 14 or 17, but
yeah.
Can this offense score 3-4 touchdowns?
The only, I mean, they're not going to win this game 31-28. They're not going to win this game 41-37.
No.
This has to be a game where the defense, we walk out talking about this defense. It has to be. I don't see us, like you said, this offense is not going to magically turn around like that. Now, that could be 23-20.
Yeah.
And that's maybe more realistic. I have the Packers as well, but I'm kind of in your same area, but I have it slightly closer. I have 20-16, and we end up talking about red zone woes.
Yeah.
Especially if Tyler Eifert doesn't play. You know, maybe they drive the ball, but still say, oh, we drove it. We got one touchdown, but right. We had to kick too many field goals, and that was a difference. And the defense lets up one big play or one drive, and the Packers win. I think we're both sort of in the same area there. I just, you know, I think this is a game where the defense has to win it. The defense has to go out there and be special.
And how many times did we say that last year and never happened?
Yeah, they were pretty good down the stretch the last eight games. The first eight games, they were atrocious. Yeah.
But then they gave up.
But it wasn't enough to win games because they gave up a little too much.
Right.
They weren't dominant. They were good.
Right.
They were 10th.
The Giants drive.
They were like 10th to 12th.
Yeah.
And in a big spot, they couldn't get a play.
Right.
Fourth and two, you know.
Are you confident that this team on 3rd and 3 at midfield – isn't going to commit a penalty that gives Aaron Rodgers a free first down?
DPI or something.
I mean, it's happened
over and over.
Over and over.
Yeah, you're right.
So, I mean, maybe they could. They're clearly talented enough to do it.
Yeah.
They clearly do it at other points where they don't commit penalties and things.
And they're just very healthy.
Yes.
I mean, they got everybody.
Yes.
Except for Perfect.
Right. I could easily make the argument that when it's Packers offense against Bengals defense, the Bengals defense is a better unit right now, health-wise, speed-wise, pure talent, because of all these injuries and things, and their Packers offensive line has been in flux for years.
Yeah.
But 12 plus all of these other issues that haven't been corrected.
Yeah.
I just have a hard time being like, this is the week.
Yeah. And that's, you know, what Carlos said, where the two big plays, we knew that they were our personal issues that we messed up on and we can correct those. Yeah. How long has that been said, though?
Right.
Like, at a certain point, that doesn't hold weight anymore when every time it's a mistake that you make once or twice a game.
Right.
That causes a big play. Well, yeah, we can correct them. We know what we did wrong. But, yeah, but then something else happens.
Right.
It's like you got to be perfect. It's like we talked about with the offensive linemen when Paul Alexander was talking about where they're at this week. Is 59 out of 60 isn't good enough.
No.
Because that one play gets you beat.
Right.
And, you know, you have to be perfect. This is the NFL.
And, yeah, it's hard to be perfect, clearly. But, you know, here's a team that's 0-2 going into a place like that where AFC teams don't win. Like 4-13 against Rodgers since he's been a starter. You have to be.
Mm-hmm. You do. You have to be. You do when your wiggle room is so small because your offense is playing like garbage and getting people fired. Speaking of Marvin Lewis, at the podium for the first time because he, as anybody listened to the BBP deuce last week, decided to try to skirt us. Because he didn't want to have to talk about it, and even then tried to stop more questions from coming about it on Wednesday. He did discuss it, though, for a little bit. And tell me what you – we're sort of reading between the lines, and I'm not 100% sure on this, but last Friday, when he sat down originally at the podium in the very beginning, he sort of had like an emotional look in his eyes. He looked out at us,
yeah.
and I thought to myself, "Oh, here we go. They did it. He's about to tell us," because he's looks like he's almost welling up.
Yeah,
and then he didn't.
Yeah,
but
and then got
mad. But he knew he was. But he knew he had.
Right.
And he clearly was thinking about it as he looked at us.
Right.
Knowing that we were about to ask him.
Right. And then got mad about it.
And then got mad at us. But anyway, so you're so bitter about this still. But anyway, so then Wednesday, it comes, and he, after answering three or four questions about it, basically says, "I don't want to talk about this anymore." And we saw sort of the same kind of, like, emotion. You could see the emotion, and I think that's why he's like, we're moving on from this, because I think he felt emotion coming over him a little bit over it. That surprise you? I mean, I don't think I've ever seen that from him.
Yes, in the context of he's not Dick Vermeil, you know?
Yeah.
But no, because it's the first... I mean, he's, quote-unquote, fired or told guys you need to move on before, but it's always been in the safety and the comfort of January and statements. You know, this has never happened. And here's a guy who'd been with them since 2003. I mean, that's a long time. That's a lot of time spent together.
Yeah.
You know, and he even said, you know, even before that, he knew Kent. So I think there was... So, yes, it was surprising that it kind of... It might have surprised him, too.
Yeah, I think that's why he sort of reacted the way he did, was... He's saying, well, let's move on. But anyway, he had some other things to say. I just thought that it was interesting.
Yeah.
He had some other things to say, particularly pointing out that talking about his message to the players about this in the team meeting on Monday. Here's a little bit of Marvin Lewis. I'm kind of cutting into just a couple of questions that he answered on this topic on Wednesday, so you can kind of get a feel for where he was at. I just thought it was some interesting stuff, and then we'll come back and we'll wrap this show with Optimistic Bobby and Carl Lawson, and a little bit more from us. So we'll be right back here. Here's Marvin Lewis.
As an organization, you as a coach, there are no rash decisions. You're patient and thoughtful. What was the tipping point for you with the offense, I guess? You know, I can't imagine it was just a thing on Thursday or Friday afternoon. What was...
Well, I just wasn't pleased with our direction of things. I wasn't pleased with our execution. And, I've tried to voice my opinion, be helpful, and so forth. And I just felt like we needed to move forward.
Is that difficult, Coach?
It is very difficult. And he's busted his tail here. Been with me since I started. You know, when I was probably in other jobs prior to here, I've been in contact with Kenny. So his family is tremendous. And great friends, and he's a fine football coach, and he'll get another opportunity. He'll knock it out of the park, but this didn't work.
You've been in this coaching business a long time. You see people come and go, but when a guy is with you that long, is that one of the hardest things you've had to do in your
career? It's very difficult, but I got to, we got a lot of people in this building. Had to look out for everyone, and to Kenny's credit, he understood and completely. We had enough about this. All right, let's move on. Okay, said what I said. I'm not going to elaborate anymore. All right.
There might be some people who believe new coordinator, new offense, but it doesn't work that way. Can you speak to the gradual nature of?
I think, obviously. Bill has done a great job of staying in his spot, and he's provided input and been a part, and now he gets the opportunity to put a stamp on it, under the direction that he's been given, and he knows the abilities of the players, he knows what we've been dealing with, he's been part of it, and now we get to, he gets to put a new face on it a bit, but it's a step. I told the players that, on Monday morning, this is not magic. You have to do the work. offense, defense, and special teams all alike. It's not, you know, changing. I said, we got Kenny out of here. Not Kenny. We did. And they got to understand that. They're part of that. And the next time, look around. There'll be different guys sitting there. And they realize that, too. I had one of the defensive players come to me that way. And they understand that. You know, pretty soon, everybody looks around, and they start looking the other way. So that's the part of it that everybody has to understand. We have to do it together collectively. And we had a period where I felt like this was the time to do it. And we had an opportunity to make it right and move forward and get back in this race, get back in the division, get back in the AFC, and do what we set out to do.
All right, so there was Marvin Lewis. I mean, his message, I think, was the right one. I mean,
yeah.
The most interesting thing to me was Kenny didn't get himself fired. We got Kenny fired.
Right.
You know, we did this because none of us did our job correctly.
Yeah.
And we can place blame and you know, he's obviously protecting his guys. There's no sense stomping on the grave at this point. But it is inevitably on the players. And now the players need to start looking around. And the coaches need to start looking around and say, if we don't do this, it's all getting blown up. And that's Marvin. Someone asked me today, Marvin's job should be on the line. It is. Yeah. You don't think it isn't? He doesn't have a contract.
Yeah.
He's making calls that he's never done, that this franchise has never done.
Right.
The urgency is apparent. Everyone is playing for jobs.
Right.
I've had multiple players talk about that, be like, you got to be an idiot to not think that everybody around here doesn't realize we're all playing for jobs.
Right.
Because when the head coach doesn't have a contract and the team is spiraling, if the head coach doesn't come back, all the coaches are gone and a new coaching staff comes in and a lot of these players are going to be gone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the reality of what happens if this season goes further sideways.
Right.
Now, I don't know. Who knows? But to say that he's not coaching for his job, I mean, for the first time since 2010, the guy doesn't have a contract beyond this year. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, and you know, and that was the thing with the Zampezi decision, Paul. So starting in January, Marvin's season ender. This is you have to remember the big picture here for people. Marvin pointed the finger at himself. I didn't push the right buttons. I didn't get through. And then he said, then as the off season went on, it was, we need to be better as coaches. We need to do better things, right? So it goes bad. He makes his coaching staff accountable by firing one of the two high-profile guys, right?
Yep.
So, really, that's really the only move that can be done. Like, you can't really get rid of position coaches, not on staffs where you don't have guys who can then, like, do that. You're not going to change techniques and all those things during a year. I mean, this was the one thing you could do.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, now it is.
It's where it
is. And maybe that's the Tyler Boyd thing Thursday night.
Yeah.
I mean, Marvin went on national radio before this podcast to kind of say Tyler Boyd needs to know what he's doing if he wants to play.
Yep.
Now, maybe part of that was why they made this change. But, you know, the legitimate questions about the running back situation.
Yep. Yep.
Some receivers.
A lot of questions.
Tight ends.
And we'll, again, this is Learn. This is a learn a lot game.
Yeah.
I don't. Do they have to win? No, because I don't think many had this penciled in as a win.
No, it's got to look a lot better.
It needs
though.
To look better, and you need to come away from this encouraged.
Yeah.
And then go beat two bad teams and be 2-3 going into the bye and regroup.
Right.
That to me, you know, that's the key, which is a bit of a lead in into Optimistic Bobby.
Yeah.
Who is just out of control right now. And I love it in every way. I don't even know what to say about this anymore, but Bobby's fame is growing along with his Twitter following. And he's got goals.
It's good to have goals.
It's good to have goals. And he's got a question for us. So owner of 50 West, Bobby Slattery, a.k.a. Optimistic Bobby is here with Optimistic Bobby's Optimistic View and question of the week. So here's this.
All right. Another highly anticipated check-in with Optimistic Bobby, 50 West owner, Bobby Slattery. A week later, Bengals Nation looks to you. I assume that you have a lot of positive vibes that this move at coordinator is going to be really, it's going to change things for all Bengals fans.
I mean, how can you not be excited about this? It's fantastic. The laser cats, are in full effect.
Were you like a SNL guy? Were you an SNL guy, and it immediately popped in your head that laser cats could be what it's all about?
First of all, I would love to take credit for this. And am I an SNL guy? A huge SNL guy. My wife and I, we actually watched SNL, and when they do the intro pieces where they introduce characters, we cheer for the ones we like. Lexi sometimes she'll cheer, and I won't cheer. It's like a thing that we do. So, but I cannot take credit for the laser cats. I would have thought of it. It would have come into my head had it not been texted to me roughly 2 minutes after it took place from one of my buddies, immediately sending over the laser cats with the skit from SNL with Andy Samberg. If you haven't seen it, you can check it in my link. I'm now Twitter famous. Everyone is getting a huge kick out of this. So yes. If you go to Optimistic Bobby, I will have a link to potentially all 5 seasons of the laser cats.
Yeah. What are the odds of you showing up in, was it Section 140?
Section 141.
Sorry.
I go 140
for the cheeseburgers. Yeah, you're willing to move. Okay.
Yeah. I'm willing to move a little bit to get to the burgers.
What are the odds that you show up in Section 141 in a full a laser cat's costume that you have created? What are the odds of this happening? Can I request that?
That's happening 100%. I already have the stuffed kitty cats that I'm bringing with me to the game.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that somebody from the video board gets into this and we start seeing little cats with lasers shooting out of their eyeballs. I don't have enough video technicality skills, but
yeah.
I would have already taken NFL films and been documenting like Dalton throwing passes with a cat with lasers shooting it over. But that's definitely happening. Now, the question is what are the odds that I start my own business that sells stuffed kitty cats to Bengals fans? That's really the thing that I've been contemplating.
Yeah.
Is how big can this potentially get?
I think very big. Let's start with I think you got the right idea. I think you start with the video board. I do think you should show up in cat costume with a laser on your head. And I also think that this message will get to the video people. They've got until the game against Buffalo to prepare something. And so we will hopefully this will get to them and they will give you your request for a full Bengals laser.
Is the team aware of the laser cats? That's what I
know. I don't think so.
You got to get this to Dalton. You got to get this to everybody. Everybody needs to start embracing this now because this is a huge opportunity for this city.
I'll get right on that. I'll start there.
Especially where this offense is going to be come Sunday, because we're going into Green Bay. We're going to win. This reminds me. Let's not forget about when they replaced Dave Shula with Coslet the last time they made a major move.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how that finished?
This the season turned around for them. Absolutely, yes.
I think it was 7-2.
Right.
So I'm assuming that's going to be the exact same results. The team wanted it. I'm excited about it. If you're a Bengals fan and you're not excited about the season right now, I'm shocked. I'm absolutely shocked. So,
all I have to say is 7-2. You mentioned. You know what that would equal? That would mean that would get you to those 9 losses that you said is when the season's over.
No. 7-2. That's 7 wins and 2 losses.
Oh, in a row. So 7 in a row is what you're calling for. Okay. Gotcha.
No. So when Coslet took over, they went.
Oh, I got you. I got you.
And he went 7-2. I think we finished 8-8 that
yes.
year. Jeff Blake was on fire. It was amazing.
Yes. All right. I got you.
So
what's your? So here's the question though. What is your question for us today? Not that it even matters. I don't even feel like we need questions anymore. It's just checking in with you to see what you're so excited about every week. But I'll let you continue to ask questions.
So we got to talk about my Twitter fame for just a second here.
Yeah.
The entire company now, at 50 West, it's become a huge joke amongst everybody that I'm now solely focused on growing my own Twitter following and not focused on the business. It's an ego thing at this point.
It's a legitimate concern.
I'm just over 300 followers. What I've been saying is if I can get to 500, I think that's when LaserCats has a legit shot of being a thing because I'll have enough of a following out there to really spur this.
All right. So, all BEP listeners, they've got to go. It's at Bobby Slattery, correct? Is the actual
that's
Twitter
correct.
Name. And then you put in your optimistic yeah. Bobby, so you know who it is. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
If you want to stay upbeat for the games, there's actually a lot of people out there that are into this positive way of thinking. I was surprised
yeah.
by the negativity out there. But
yes.
All right. So let's cut to the question for this week.
Yeah.
It's a real straightforward one. I've actually posed it before. I think I sent it to Jim on Twitter. He's been ignoring me. I think he's waiting for me to get to 500 followers before
yeah.
he starts addressing me.
He doesn't recognize me.
But the question is, so assuming we win at Green Bay, because that's going to happen.
Yeah.
What are the chances this team is sitting at 3-2 after 5 weeks going into Pittsburgh?
All right. I like that question. That's a good one. And, we'll weigh in on that. I have a feeling, I know what Vegas would say to that. I think they'll be favored in the next two games after that. So they need it, though. Only with your help. Only with your help can they be sitting at 3-2, I think.
I'll be there with stuffed kittens shooting lasers out of their mouth. Sitting on my couch this weekend.
All right. You should get back to work and so that all of your everybody that you work with does not think that you're solely chasing Twitter fame.
Twitter Fest.
50 Fest is Saturday, right?
This weekend, yeah. 50 Fest is weekend. If you need me, I'll be doing my favorite duty of parking cars at 50 Fest. So if you happen to be on one of the buses, that
yeah.
will be me that takes you to and from. But, yeah, no, 5,000 people come out. We have three different stages, 10 bands, local food, local music. We've got some cool sponsorships this year from a lot of the local craft vendors who ran, like, some real specialty beer out. So come down. Saturday starts at noon, and it'll go till midnight, and that's it. I will not be selling stuffed cats at this year's 50 bucks, but maybe next year.
Maybe next year. Well, next year it's going to be so big that you won't need to. You'll have a whole side business of your team that just handles the stuffed cats will be in charge.
That's it.
You will never even need to touch it. All right. I love it, Bobby. Always a pleasure to catch up with you. It gets more and more entertaining and longer every week, but I'm not against it.
All right. Thanks for your time, Paul. Hey, optimistic Bobby, BobbySlattery@twitter.com. Help me get to 500 followers.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right. We'll see you. Bye.
Truly amazing.
I don't even know what to say anymore. As I said, talking to him, these segments, I feel like they keep getting better and better and longer.
Yeah.
But that's okay because I feel like the entertainment value is so high. I just sort of let him go. You know, we just let it fly.
Yeah.
And enjoy it. Enjoy the ride. Enjoy the ride. And go follow him. But so we can get him to 500 followers. So then
yeah.
Jim will recognize his presence. Have you been ignoring Optimistic Bobby until
no.
he gets a true Twitter following?
No, I don't watch. I think he's just getting lost.
Yeah, there's a lot in there.
Lost in the sea.
In the garbage.
Did he try to tweet me when I was trying to destroy your appearance on Mo's show?
Potentially.
Where other people are like, hey, if you want to see a beat writer melt down, check out Jim's timeline. Which is great. Had some fun.
Yeah, you've been melting down quite a bit.
But I will go first, and
yes.
I will answer Bobby in the affirmative. If you are going to assume a victory Sunday, then that means so many things went right. That means the defense didn't have the breakdowns that I just talked about earlier, got some turnovers, which they don't really do very well. It means the offense didn't get just a dead cat bounce, but actually put stuff together and look, really well. So yeah, you go into Lambeau and you do all that, you damn well sure are gonna beat the
Browns.
And
then home against the Bills.
Yeah, that's happening. So
I would agree.
Yeah,
I would agree completely. I think the odds are good, and the odds makers would have if the Bengals win against Green Bay would have the Bengals favored.
Yeah.
Pretty heavily in both of those games.
Yeah.
Although the Browns favored on the road for the first time since like 2015 or something like that. How about that?
Take the points.
At the Colts.
Oh, that's ripe for a Jacoby Brissett 300 yard.
Oh, yeah. No doubt. Bengals, by the way, longest odds in the Dalton Green era. this week. 9. Marvin Lewis, in games where he has been a dog of at least 9 points, by the way, you don't want to see that record, Bengals fans. You know who doesn't want to see that record? Optimistic Bobby. 110-1.
Woo.
110-1. Yeah. They had one win against Baltimore in 2009. Although notable of it was really kind of the real kickstarter, one of the real kickstarters of their 2009 surprising run in sweeping the division and all that.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens with that. Okay, so let's wrap it up. Thanks, as always, to Optimist Bobby, who will be back. We'll see how his optimism holds up. Go follow him. Follow us at Paul Daner Jr., at Jim Ozarski. You can send us emails, pdanerjr@enquirer.com, josarski@enquirer.com, if you have questions. I appreciate all the emails, even those that just don't use any punctuation. Like, is capitalization a problem in America right now? I find lots of random capitalized single letters and, like...
That's a phone thing.
Yeah.
That's an email from a phone.
Yeah. Lots of that, though.
Yeah. That's your thumb.
I'm not asking for Mark Twain sending me an email, but just a period... a few less exclamation points. I get you. Like, I feel you, though, and I try to respond to everybody. Of course, Instagram, ENQ Bengals. Follow Jim on the Snapchats as well. Jay Ozarski.
Yep.
And wherever. And then we'll be in Lambeau. ENQ Bengals, definitely follow this weekend. We'll take you behind the scenes in Lambeau on our trip for the weekend. We're going to be on a boat on Saturday.
Yeah.
On a boat. It's going to be great. So we're excited about that. The whole Enquirer crew will just follow us. And we'll make it feel like you went to Lambeau.
Yeah.
Without everything except for the indigestion. So, all right. Next, Carl Lawson, Hot Seat with Doc on BTS was great. So we're going to bring you that next so you can keep on listening if you want to hear Carl Lawson. Giovanni Bernard is our guest on Tuesday. 7 o'clock at the Holy Grail Banks is where we're going to be. So come on down there. and we'll have a great time. So anyway, here's Carl Lawson, and we'll talk to you later.
My name is Paul Daugherty, and this segment is known as the Hot Seat.
You named it the Hot Seat, bro.
Oh, it's just called the Hot Seat? All right.
You want me to ask you tough questions?
No, I was playing with you. Don't answer.
Marvin Lewis said that one of these days that you would be unleashed.
Uh-huh.
Are you unleashed yet?
I mean, I don't got any chains on me. I feel pretty good.
Are you unleashed on the football field?
Always.
Always?
Always.
How do we know that? What marks you as unleashed? Don't read the question.
Pressure.
Pressure?
Yeah, pressure. I'm not reading the question. I just got some cool stuff on there.
See, I cheat later. We do a game, and I cheat on the game by looking at the questions. But you can't cheat. You're a guest.
Okay.
Do you remember what a new day was?
A new day? At Auburn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember. It's when Gus Malzahn first got there, and it was after the... 3-9 season, which was bad, and it was a new day because we had a spring game, right. And that whole spring game sold out. It was like, I think it was like 98,000 people just for a spring game. It was like the biggest number in Auburn history, and we had a good night that night. I was a recruit at the time, and I was going into Auburn, but I remember that. A new day is when Gus Malzahn first got there.
Was there a dance called the New Day Dance?
No, I kind of think you know more about this than me. I've never heard of that.
That's what I'm paid for. Okay. I know all kinds of stuff about you. Do you like Alabama fans?
Yeah, I got some Alabama fans as friends.
Yeah,
I like some.
Were you there when that guy poured the stuff at the oak tree and killed the oak tree at Toomer's Corner?
No, I was at home playing video games, but I heard about it.
What would you like to say to that guy now if you could?
Good luck in jail. He went to jail a couple times.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He might still be there.
Kind of bad.
Now, Marvin also said you need to be more reckless. What does that mean?
Not think so much, because as a football player, when I start to think and you know, get timid, I'm not as good as a player. So unleash myself and not think and just go play fast, don't worry about mistakes, and then I can be a better football player.
Your dad once broke his foot on your knee when you guys were kickboxing. Is that right?
We weren't kickboxing, so when we were little, he'd go around the house, he'd kick me, and I'd kick him back.
Right.
And as it got older, I was starting to get stronger than him. So one time, he was playing around, and I heard him come up behind me. He turned around. I put my knee up, and he smacked it right on top of my he smacked his foot on top of my knee and cracked it.
Broke two bones in his foot.
Yeah.
Is that the last time he did that?
Yeah, that was the last time he did that.
Now, was there also another time when he kind of challenged you to bull rush him, and you just kind of pretty much knocked him
yeah,
over?
Yeah, I kind of sound bad. I've hurt my dad a lot, but I still love him.
Do you like your dad?
Yeah, I love him a lot.
Now, he was a fullback on Georgia Tech's national championship team, correct? Mm-hmm. 1990? Mm-hmm. Does he flash the jewelry in front of you on occasion?
Yeah, he has, but my grandparents have it, so it's not a lot.
Ah, okay. You studied tape of Deacon Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for those who don't know, Deacon Jones was a star defensive lineman for the Los Angeles Rams in the 60s and 70s.
And the Chargers, too, right? No?
Might have been. I remember him as a Ram. At least I remember him. I actually watched him.
Mm-hmm.
How did you know about Deacon Jones?
I mean, NFL Network tells you everything you need to know.
You junk out on the NFL Network?
Yeah, when I was little.
No kidding. Now, now that in the NFL, in your current role, whatever, that is kind of a hybrid, same thing as Alabama, right? They call it, Auburn. Same thing as Auburn. They call it a buck linebacker, right?
Well, they call it a buck. Are you talking about at Auburn? Yeah.
Yeah.
Buck.
Now, what linebackers might you check out now? Play that kind of position?
Well, who play my position?
You know, on video. I mean, you're looking at Deacon Jones back then because he was a great pass rusher,
uh-huh.
but he was a down lineman. Now that you're kind of a hybrid, are there guys that you look at now that do that?
We got a guy right here in our locker room. We got a couple guys I can watch. I can watch Vincent Ray. I can watch Vontaze Burfict. We got a lot of guys in-house that I can sit there and learn from and pick from.
Now, in middle school, you worked out with Taquio Spikes and Hines Ward?
And Hines Ward, I don't know where that came from, but Taquio, definitely.
Taquio.
Yeah.
How did that come about? You're this little kid, and he's in the NFL. How'd that work?
Well, there was a summer I was tired of being pudgy and fat, you know, yeah. coming out of eighth grade. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something about this. I'm going to go train with Tony Villani. And Tony Villani, he's in Boca Raton, Florida now, but he was a really good trainer in Atlanta.
Right.
And he had all those guys. He had Taquio Spikes. He had Wayne Gandy. And he actually had a couple other Auburn connects, so it kind of goes back all the way to when I was 12. And they were training out there with him. I was like, can I train with you guys? And the first day I come out there, it was like 100 degrees. I come out there in sweatpants.
Yeah, yes.
And I literally just pass out trying to keep up with those guys. And they called me sweatpants.
That's
the whole
what they
summer.
Called you, sweatpants.
But each
right.
day I kept working and coming back each day, wouldn't quit. And, you know, I transformed my body that summer going into high school. So it was a great experience.
See, I'm just trying to get past the notion that you're working out with NFL guys when you're, what are you, 15?
No, it's 12.
12.
Yeah, we got to take it down 3 years.
I got you. You know, did Taquio ever call you dog? Did he use the word dog a lot? Because when he was here, that was every other word.
Dog?
Yeah, dog.
No dog. I don't know dog.
Okay, dog. You know what he said to me once? When I wrote something critical of the team?
You're a dog?
No, he said, why you dog us, dog?
I like that.
Who's a living person you'd most like to meet?
A living person I'd most like to meet? That's a hard one.
It's a hot seat question, man. It makes you think.
Yeah. This is the first time I had to think. Everything else been
right,
boom, boom, boom.
Right.
I don't know. Like,
do you want me to go on to the next one? Is that one too hot?
I
want to
meet you, and I already did that today. How about that?
You already met me.
Yeah.
Who's a historical person across all of history that you'd most like to be?
I'd most like to be?
Yeah.
That's a hard one because I like being myself.
Other than yourself, dog.
Historical person I'd most like to be. Most historical people have gone through some stuff, so I don't know. I don't know.
Damn. All right, I'll try the next one. It's a little bit easier. What does a football player, a career football player, know that a non-football player such as myself will never know?
I feel like the commodity.
Yeah.
The commodity that comes with football, you know, the grind that comes with football. I mean, I feel like you make some of the best relationships through struggle. So, you know, we're 0-2 right now, but that's kind of like a bonding experience because right now we got to find a way to pick it up. So that's something that a regular person will really never know, that commodity, that day in, day out grind with one person, you know, maybe in a different sport or area, but just sports, like, you know, in general, that's something that you you get.
Are you cool?
As ice.
Cool as ice.
As ice.
What does that mean? Define it.
As cool as ice. Perfect example. Your first couple questions didn't make me feel hot on the hot seat. So
right.
I'm cool.
So you're cool.
I'm cool.
All right. What makes you mad?
Not a good meal.
A bad meal. You go out and spend a whole bunch of money.
Yeah.
Not like, a good meal.
Yeah. Like, or like, I remember one time I spent like $50 on like two pieces of shrimp. I was.
$50 for two pieces of shrimp.
Two pieces of shrimp.
And they weren't good.
They weren't even good shrimp.
Were they big?
They were just fancy. They put a leaf on there.
A leaf?
Yeah. You know, made it.
Did you eat the leaf?
I did not eat the leaf.
I mean, for $50, you got to get your money's worth.
No, I left. I was like, I mean, I paid for it and left, you know.
Was that an appetizer? You didn't hang out for the whole thing?
It's probably going to be this big. I didn't want that either.
All right. What makes you jealous?
Makes me jealous. People who have a good meal and I don't.
What makes you want to throw a media guy through a plate glass window?
When he keeps asking the same question that I ignored the first time. I didn't ignore it. I just didn't answer the way he wants. He'll come back.
I'll come back, try it again.
Yeah, well, he'll do it like five questions later and then come back. I'm like, I don't know, bro. I can't tell you.
Yeah. Well, he's trying to catch you, trying to just rephrase
it. But I was a communications major, so I appreciate his craft. So, I mean, I'm not mad, but at the same time, it's just like you're not going to get me.
Right. Don't treat me like I'm stupid.
Yeah. You know?
I'll try not to do that. Am I treating you like that now?
No, we're having a good time because I'm cool.
What is there one thing that you would like to change about yourself?
Just being, just being stronger in my faith.
Stronger in your faith?
Stronger in my faith.
That's a good answer. All right. Who gets unconditional love from you?
My mom, my family.
Unconditional.
Unconditional.
Yeah, you have a good family.
Yeah.
Strong family.
Strong family.
And that's helped you through your life.
Always.
All right. Have you known guys in your profession that have suffered from not having a strong family?
All the time.
Yeah. Have you taken them in? Have you ever taken in a teammate, come over for Thanksgiving or whatever?
Like I said before, that's what the commodity that comes with football, you know?
Right.
When guys are down, you got to pick them up because you're just not an individual. You're a unit. You're a team. So, I mean, I've definitely done that before.
All right. Do you cry at animal movies?
I cry at animal movies?
Yeah.
No?
You don't? I mean,
I'm talking about Home Alone.
Homebound. Oh, Homebound.
You're seeing Homebound with the talking dog.
I never knew anybody that cried.
I never cried, but I was sad because he got lost, and I got lost one time as a kid. So I didn't cry. I got sad.
You ever see Marley and Me?
No, but I'm guessing he probably passed away.
Yeah, Marley was a dog, golden retriever.
Uh-huh.
You might have cried. You should try that one, and then report back to me.
All right, got
see
you.
If you get through it, Marley and Me.
Yeah.
When was the last time you cried from laughing really hard?
Probably the other day. I can't remember the joke, but I laugh a lot. You know, you got to laugh. You know, you got to be happy. You can't be sad all the time.
All right. Do you have any questions you would like to ask me? No, question, not questions. I'll give you one.
What's your favorite food?
Favorite food is Maryland crab.
What's
blue
that?
Crab.
Is it like crab from Maryland?
Chesapeake Bay blue crab.
Hold on. Is it Maryland or Chesapeake Bay?
Well, Maryland is on the Chesapeake Bay.
I don't know that much. I'm sorry.
Yes. Well,
okay, so what?
Communications major.
So what if you had that type of crab and found out it was from New York? Would you be upset?
They don't have that kind of crab in New York.
But they could tell you it's that type of crab. It might taste like that type of crab, but it's from New York.
They're only in Chesapeake Bay, man.
It might be possible.
Not possible.
Anything is possible.
No Chesapeake Bay crabs make their way up to New York.
Hey,
I guarantee you. I grew up in Maryland. I grew up eating the Chesapeake Bay.
Do you see them get the crab?
Do I see them?
Get the crab.
You mean like straight off the boat to my plate? No.
Then you don't know.
I know where the crabs come from. Now, when you go to Baltimore, they'll be out of season, but you can get them. Mm-hmm. And they're absolutely delicious. You boil them up. You got to take them apart. You know what I mean? It's not like they serve it to you nice like a shrimp with a leaf on it. You got to open it up, the body, and take all the junk out of there. Oh, man.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work, but it's worth it.
All right. Fair enough.
You know what? I'm done with you. You're off the hot seat.
That's amazing.
Carl, I appreciate it. Thanks
I appreciate
for coming
you.
In. All right. That's Carl Lawson Jr., everybody. Thanks for coming out. We will be back with one more segment on Beyond the Stripes.